Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com and whatever podcast app you're choosing to use. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/upnext. Hello, YouTube room. Sorry, / post wrestling.
Whoa,
throwback. It's because we're in this room again together.
Right, that's what it is.
Yes. Hello. You might be live on youtube.com/post wrestling. How was that?
It's the holidays. Yes. And it's December 23rd. So it's Christmas Eve Eve.
Don't call me Eve.
Yeah, don't call me Steve. And we were going to do this separately from our, you know, StreamYard as we usually do. But I was late last minute Christmas shopping. I am a last minute Christmas shopper today for some people. And I was shopping Queen Street West, Toronto, not far from King Street West, Toronto, where you work. And I popped in to see you at Gabby's. And then one thing led to another. And I haven't been home. So I came, I'm now in my old home, and we watched NXT together, which is the taped episode, which is why we're here early. So apologies to some people who were rewinding to be like, why, what's happening? Because it's 9:33, which means NXT normally isn't over yet.
I mean, in the US, I think it's still happening.
It's still on right now.
I think people are still watching Shiloh Hill and the chaos.
Right, match. Christmas chaos.
Christmas chaos.
Well, we're having a bit of Christmas chaos here. So one thing led to another.
I mean, it looks like we've destroyed the place. Like, looking like behind the camera.
Right.
The
piano.
We've got a turkey defrosting. We've got plates everywhere from dinner.
Right before recording. So I don't even have my microphone. I don't have my computer, nothing. But I'm using like a backup laptop that you have. And right before recording, you also tripped on the charger and almost died right in front of me. That was pretty scary, but I'm happy you're okay.
By the way, let us know how we're sounding as well.
Yeah, we could sound like terrible right now because we are using your normal mic. But we thought, hey, it's the holidays. Why not get together and do this in person? And now you're just playing our own stream. But hopefully we sound okay. And we are here to talk about NXT. And you do know why, because nothing can stop us. We are your NXT friends.
Friends.
And we're here to talk about NXT, and we're going to talk a whole lot more. But happy holidays. Merry Christmas. It is December 23rd, and we are recording this just after NXT ended, and we're going to talk about NXT, but we have done a whole lot more. And got to say thanks and a big shout-out to some of the friends that showed up at the Poison Rana Christmas party, because we may be up next here at Post Wrestling, but Brain and Davey, we are known as Poison Rana, and check out in your podcast app or YouTube or whatever social media you use, search Poison Rana Pod, give us a follow, and check out some of the stuff that we do, because we had a huge Christmas party.
Oh, we've been completely in the festive spirit over the last week or so. Yes, on Sunday, we hosted the annual Poison Rana Christmas house party, and we had many guests come. We had trivia games throughout the day. We had discussions of our favorite Christmas food and films and the like. Yeah. But man, I think two people were the show stealers of the house party.
Yeah, absolutely. So like we streamed for about 5 hours, 30 minutes. Now, again, it's on our YouTube. If you have some spare time, maybe cooking or doing the dishes these holiday, or you don't like your in-laws, well, you can watch the replay. And we've had so many guests. Wei Ting from Post Wrestling showed up. He was great. But you were alluding to how you were making the BDE champ, Fire Frank, put the title on the line. But he had to work, so he showed up later in the stream. But earlier in the stream, Maddie Edwards from Grapple did a gauntlet of you challenged people to a bunch of trivia games, and you challenged who could name WWE champion just from title reign to title reign.
And so in reverse chronological order, right? So from the current champion, Cody Rhodes, to John Cena, to Cody Rhodes, to Roman Reigns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Maddie was impressed. He could do it like off the top of his head.
And we went, we played this game with sort of 5-6 people, and that you'd have to name one each, and you keep going round. Everyone got eliminated apart from Matty, who I think took us to the 7th champion. And I think there's been almost like 200 champions. It was crazy impressive. People were going, he's cheating. I've listened to Grapple. Yeah. I don't think so. I think he genuinely can recall that.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Frank can as well.
Yeah, because that was nuts. So he won this trivia game and then he had to jet off. But we had other friends and people. Shout out everyone who came in. Appreciate the love. And anyone who hung out or go watch the replay. But then, we had some friends in the chat. And then Fire Frank showed up. So then you had another trivia game, which was like, trivia from AEW, WWE in 2025, and then like pop culture, and then stuff involving our podcast and everything. And again, Frank showing us why he has been champ since what, 2021?
Yeah.
Undefeated. And he just, he spanked everyone yet again.
So we got to set it up. Maddie versus Frank. It's got to happen.
The big main event.
But go have a listen. See how well you do as well. It's a great show to just put on in the background.
Play along with.
Yeah. But that was a great time. Also, shout out Martin Bushby, who was on the stream, who also on the Poison Rana stream hosted Bushby and Thompson's holiday extravaganza.
That's right.
Them rejoining after a long time away from the mics from each other.
Yeah, so obviously we do a lot of stuff here at Post Wrestling, but check out Poison Rana. We have a free feed. We have a YouTube. We have tons of content on there, including all the pods talking about wrestling. But it is the end of the year, holidays, and I know in the new year we'll have a lot of our best of, worst of. We will be joining John away for a best of, worst of Post Wrestling edition of 2025. But we have some other things coming out in the new year and stuff. So give us a follow if you haven't checked out our stuff before, because we do tons of stuff, not just NXT, but we did our Christmas party. We have a Patreon. We've been doing the series called The Champ Is Here. If you're still buzzing about John Cena, we have some free episodes on our free feed as well. But we've been going through all the John Cena title reigns.
Yeah, great episode. We've joined with Boris from A Plus Productions. He also hosted Up Next with us last week, talking about the 13th reign of John Cena. This is just after he won the title from The Rock at WrestleMania 29, going on to feuds with Ryback, Mark Henry, and Daniel Bryan. Great show. We'll be picking this back up with the 14th reign in January 2026.
And our friend, the patriarch of post wrestling, John Pollock, joined us on our Patreon for a tradition where we were home alone as we reviewed Home Alone 3, the last good one. I say good in quotations, but here, John, Davey, and I review this 1997 Home Alone sequel, Home Alone 3. Does it involve Christmas? Sort of. Does it involve Macaulay Culkin? Absolutely not.
What do we think of that haircut there? Do you think I could pull that off?
Bowl cut?
The just mushroom head.
It's like a millennial thing, I think. Yeah, it's not great. Shout out Max Keeble, though. But yeah, here are Home Alone 1 and 2 from a few years ago, but Home Alone 3 review out on the Patreon. And then, hey, if you're someone who really loves the Christmas spirit, we've done lots of wrestling reviews in the recent times, lots of movie reviews, but we decided, you know, it's fun reviewing Christmas movies, and everyone knows someone like their crazy aunt who loves these Lifetime or Hallmark Christmas movies. But we decided, why not every year on the Patreon review one of these ridiculous, cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies. And this one, maybe you've heard about, that maybe some people have heard about. I'm not a huge football fan. I'm speaking NFL here as a Canadian. But this movie sounded so ridiculous that I thought we have to review it. And Davey and I clearly don't know enough about football. So we invited our friends, Golden Graham and now Buffalo Caleb, our friend from Buffalo, to talk about Hallmark Movies Presents Holiday Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story.
Man, this film's fantastic. Go out of your way to watch it.
Davey
loved
it.
Me all in the feels, all ready for Christmas. And yeah, you can find this pretty easily online as well. So
apparently they did a Chiefs one last year. So this is like a second football Hallmark Christmas movie crossover that NFL assigned this deal. So it's got NFL cameos that went completely over our head, but our buddies Caleb and Graham were there to help us out. So in a way, this weird Christmas romance football movie, the puns in this movie are ridiculous. She's my Super Bowl was the fucking greatest. This is for you. And if you don't know anything about the Bills or Buffalo, this is also for you because it's four dudes just talking about this ridiculous movie. But it's basically a podcast that's our love letter to Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills with this movie review. So thank you, Graham and Caleb, for joining
us. A colleague of mine walks into work tonight, sort of switching over, bartending, and she dressed up all Christmas.
Yes.
And she was like, well, David does it. I'm going to do it too. And I said, you look like you've walked right off of the set of a Hallmark movie. And everyone just went, yeah, she does.
She's very festive.
Yeah, very festive.
Well, so are we, because we actually watched this movie and we reviewed it. So that's out on our Patreon just yesterday. So tons of content. Buy us a Christmas gift by buying yourself a gift. Patreon.com/PoisonRana keeps the lights on. $5 to become a friend. You get hundreds of podcasts, including all the wrestling movie reviews. And Retro NXT was next as well. A big one we dropped a few weeks ago. Becky Lynch.
Absolutely. NXT debut. Becky Lynch's debut.
And so much more. So yeah.
Also, thank you to everyone who's been tagging us in their like Spotify Wrapped and all of that kind of stuff. It's really awesome
to see,
and we really appreciate it. And it's a nice little ego boost. So thank you for everyone doing that. We appreciate all the listeners that have stuck with us through thick and thin, to all the new listeners and everyone. So thank you.
Absolutely. Hope you're having a happy holidays, and any way you need some entertainment, we will always be there for those long drives, whatever. We got you with the podcast. So I know NXT was taped tonight. They taped next week. We will be here next week doing another show. I know they're going to talk about some year-end awards, so we will be talking about that as well. I think I'll put up a feedback thread in the Facebook group as well. Go find that if you haven't.
Yeah, and we'll come up with some. We'll see what the categories are, and we'll read some of your comments out. It's always fun to do. It also really helps us. Like, when we started this, there wasn't as much captivating wrestling out there. You know, we just had Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and we could remember a lot of stuff that happened. Now it's so hard. Like, the wrestling news cycle moves so quickly. It's really hard to remember. So help us out. Like, some of the best moments, matches, characters, and more importantly, the worst stuff as well.
Yeah, no, that's almost harder for me to come up with, like, thinking about the bad stuff. It's easy for me to think of, like, good stuff that I've watched this year. There's matches or moments or certain wrestlers that I'm like, oh, in 2025, this was awesome and this was great. But for me, it's almost like I try to block out some of the bad stuff until you remind me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I hated that. So it is more homework for me when I have to, like, okay, what did I hate this year is, like, more difficult, I find, because it's so much easier to be like, oh, this match I recommended to people, or etc. But
we will also be doing a best and worst of with John and Wei in January, and I think there's enough time this year. I think always we want to do all these end of the year things, but Christmas is busy, you know, so so we'll have a bit of time. We'll be doing, I think, the second week of January, talking about the best and worst of
definitely got
2025.
Prepare for that, because I've been maybe this week I kind of haven't caught up with a lot of stuff. I haven't checked out anything from Raw other than Bron Breakker, like, bar for bar stealing Obafemi's promo, which maybe we'll talk about later. But I did check out some of Dynamite last week, and MJF showing up in Manchester. I thought that was great. I love how this guy shows up looking great, destroys everyone, and no one gets a rebuttal or anything. But it made me really hyped for that. That four-way sounds awesome. So I, like, I am looking forward to that pay-per-view, but I did find it funny that I thought he didn't miss a beat. I right away was like, ah, this is the character I love. But it just felt weird that none of them got...
It is difficult when you're doing that, because
it's like he's funny. Know, he's cool, I guess.
You've got people chanting Diddy at Swerve.
Right.
And Hangman, like, this second reign wasn't great, yeah. You know? And to kind of... It feels sort of like, yeah, as you say, not get the comeback. Make bitch him out, basically.
Right.
I don't know how it is for a look on them, but... Like MJF came out good.
So. He looked great. I reminded me like, oh man, you have been like missed. I do think he should be champion. Hopefully Ospreay gets better.
I feel that's what they're setting up for. Right? I think they're setting up MJF is the next like long reign for the heel for the big baby face to conquer.
Ospreay, Wembley. Hopefully.
It all depends on
if he's okay.
His health, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm still thinking of that, like some of these Continental Classic matches have been so good.
This year especially, like, yeah. Has been real good.
The wrestling is really connected. Like that speed, I keep thinking about that Speedball Fletcher match, but everything from the last few weeks with these Continental Classic, the match has been awesome.
Also, while on the subject of AEW, I believe it was reported today that Andrade is now free to actually go to AEW. Do you see him showing up anytime soon?
Andrade and AEW and chill? I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Is he going to be back in the Callis family?
Yeah, put him back. I mean, I guess they wanted to do something with him and Kenny, with him attacking him.
Yeah.
He could eventually go back to that. But yeah, put him back where he, like, put him in the Don Callis family. Yeah, I think that would be pretty good. I think maybe he got a better lawyer. Maybe the Beast Mortos helped him out.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'm happy to see him back because it was kind of weird. Like, you kind of got hyped, like, oh shit, didn't expect him to kind of come back, and then that was kind of pulled away.
Yeah,
pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I know you're a fan. When he delivers, he's really good. So,
well, I'm kind of hoping after all this, it will give him like a
light of fire. Yeah.
I don't want to see more Andrade returns vignettes than matches.
Yeah,
and I feel a lot of his career the last 5-6 years has been hyping up a debut or a returning Andrade, and then we don't get anything. So I'd like to see
like
what he can do, and hopefully a bit motivated.
And yeah, him in AEW, I know he showed up in House of Glory, was it yesterday or something, so that's definitely was a tip off that like he's okay to work. But think like Andrade Arena Mexico, CMLL, like there's some good stuff.
Yeah,
I will say I saw something that WWE did that pissed me off more than when the WWE ID social media page tweeted support independent wrestling. I was like, oh, man, that's like, that just feels weird. The clip I saw being shown around from the AAA show they did, where in the video package of the show was like, yeah, Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre used to be a sideshow until, right. And then like, now we own it. I thought that was such a low key sneak diss. I thought that was so disrespectful. And briefly talking to some friends, you know, we have friends who are super into the Lucha culture and people who are in Lucha. Shout out to Man Lucha. I just found out like, I just thought that one graphic was so like, you didn't need to write that. Why did you do that? That was just something that just pissed me off. And like, you had Rey Mysterio on that show. I don't know. Was that necessarily needed to like, hey, before this, it sucked and it was a joke and no one liked it. But now because it's WWE attached, it makes money.
They're promoting.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. It's not necessarily true. But
to some, that's probably such a small thing. But like, if you don't know,
what you mean. Yeah. It's not. Like,
it's gross.
It's always been the attitude of WWE, right? Like, you haven't made it until you're in WWE.
Yeah. So anyway, CMLL.
Like, things out there and JBL's talking about him working bingo halls. It's like, no, come on. Like,
CMLL has had a hell of a year. Like, some of the stuff that they've done. And any of the stuff, you know, that comes to mind, one of the better matches. And speaking of MJF, the Mystico MJF match comes to mind as one of my favorite matches this year. And like, that might have been a match not a lot of people watch necessarily because it's, you know, it's from CMLL or something, but wow, that was something that comes to mind. It was like almost a perfect match, damn near, I say. But this year has been ups and downs. It's always at the end of the year that I'm like, okay, actually there was some really good stuff, and like, you know, but there was some bad stuff too.
I think creatively, and we'll bring it up, and I brought it up a bunch, but creatively across the board, I don't think it's been good. I think wrestling needs another shakeup.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we seem to have it every few years, whether it's the wrestling style changes or the creative changes or something. That's what I feel like it needs. It just needs a big shake up across the board.
Absolutely.
And yeah, WWE, certainly. I did catch Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if you had a chance, but very much felt like tape shows. There's still some good stuff, like Gunther's still been great after the Cena win. I don't actually hate what they've been doing with Austin Theory. I think he... What about his pants?
What about
I like it. I like that it's a change.
You like those pants? It looks like they're like dark gray, but then the crotch is like really dark gray. So it almost looks like
Death Riders.
It's almost like Liam Neeson, like he's peed himself.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going.
His like pants. I like the shaved head look. I think that's pretty.
I like that it's changed. I think he seems more serious. I think there's, you know, the story's going to be him trying to prove himself to the Vision, joining the Vision. Right. I eventually see maybe a bit of a double turn. Seth, as a babyface returning, chasing Braun, heel champion, heel Vision, and Theory has been with Seth and his insider the whole time, screws Braun, I think a bit of a double turn.
Okay,
and then you have Seth as the heel with Austin Theory, with Braun as the babyface chasing to get the title back. I kind of think that's like the six-month plan, is what I think, because, you know, Theory was already in Seth's group, and that, and they're definitely playing the "we don't trust you yet," which normally builds up to "now we trust you," and then to "we shouldn't have trusted you in the first place." So I found that kind of interesting. I know Theory, I think a lot of people have written off by now. I think really it's do or die.
At now this point,
if this doesn't work, like, I don't know how many more chances you can give the guy. But I think first week, I didn't mind it.
We have a super chat from Jake from the Windy City. First, he says, "Hope you guys have a blessed Merry Christmas," but then says, "Thank you, Jake. 2025 WWE creative wise have been so odd. What has happened to the Triple H of our beloved black and gold NXT? He has been off the mark a lot this year." Yeah, that's definitely something we've been both saying for
this year. Spent too much time at the White House and not enough time writing stories.
Telling people how to be healthy.
That writer that he showed us at the beginning of... The Netflix debut.
Telling everyone how to be healthy at the White House and not enough time. Like the Unreal show, they showed you what they want to show you because it's a show about how, hey, look, this is us pulling the curtain back. And on that show, Triple H says in about 30 minutes, they come up with ideas for certain things. That was enough to tell me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Really? 30 minutes to come up with the whole story. That's what it feels like, because some of the creative is so lousy. So, yeah, I think he ran out of plays, and he needs to hire some new people. Less AI. I don't know what it needs to be. But
something. Yeah, like, I mean, I think we said that with AEW a couple of years ago, where it felt like Tony Khan as a booker had all these ideas. He had a story. He had maybe 2-3 years worth of story.
Yeah.
And then he ran out. And it's like, oh, what next? Like, this is the only real, like, it's a soap opera. It never stops. The story never stops. So, yeah, I definitely think it has been off the boil. I think lost the focus, what they had before, of just trying to make things kind of logical. I think they lost that and too much focused on moments and not what earns those moments is the beginning, middle. You can't just give us ends. You need a beginning and middle for an end to pay off.
Yeah, they do a lot of moments, but then they don't pay off after the fact. But I don't know. Hey, they make money, and I guess that's what's important to them. But creative wise, I think fans universally are like, you were really on point. You got everyone's attention with WrestleMania 40 and that build and that show, and then everyone jumped back into wrestling, and then you had everyone's attention, and then you just went back to like cruise control. It feels.
Everyone calls WrestleMania 40. Endgame. And it kind of feels like that. It's like, yeah, I'll try and watch the next film. Oh,
so who's Steve Rogers coming back?
Yeah, okay, what's happening? When's and then you get like No Way Home, which is Cena's retirement tour, and it's like, oh, I'll watch this, and you get a Deadpool and Wolverine, but in them you got a lot of stuff I'm not interested in.
So now it's now it's Doomsday. Now we
gotta set up for
and
Doomsday.
You're like, fuck, who do we bring back from the dead to sell tickets for this show?
I mean, you would do heel Cena, but you've done that already.
Already ruined that already.
We've lost our Robert Downey.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Shall we get in some NXT?
I think so. We're going to go through NXT from December 23rd, 2025, a taped edition. So yes, we started early because NXT at Netflix Canada had a runtime of 1:16.
Oh, beautiful.
This is the greatest thing ever. 1:16 taped show NXT. We kick things off. We have some next few weeks is taped as well. Next week is taped, but the week after that will be New Year's Evil. And they're gearing up for that to be a big show. But we do not like to read ahead here. We like to watch. It's not like we seek out spoilers or anything like that. So next week already, I can say, is looking like they've loaded that one up too as well for that taped show. But the week after that will be New Year's Evil. So we will be doing shows both weeks. So catch us here live after NXT on Post Wrestling, as always. But we start tonight, December 23rd, NXT, with a matchup. Lola Vice taking on Izzy Dame here. And remember, just because it's the holidays, you can't forget that the truth will set you free. But first, it will piss you off. Is that how it goes?
But it will eventually bring beauty presence to the light and pain. I don't know. I thought you were wearing a Culling hoodie earlier.
No, I'm not. But
it's got writing on the back in the very same font.
I have a question. Where's Nico Vance?
Dead. Tatum killed him with a chainsaw. Apparently.
I know I wasn't here last week, but I missed 1 week and Nico Vance is just dead?
Yeah.
He's killed?
Well,
I watched NXT. I saw what happened with the doll, but he's not here. That's not a good sign for Nico Vance.
We'll see.
The truth will prevail, I guess, is what happened here. Yeah. Because Sean Spears is with Izzy, but no Nico. So, oh my God, they killed Nico. Booker T going off here about Lola Vice. I could be wrong, but did Booker call Lola Vice one spicy meat? That's a spicy meatball there, Lola Vice. Lola's in control here with the fists and the kicks, beating up Izzy Dame here. When we go to break quick, it's a tape show, so there's no picture in picture. When we come back, there's a crucifix for a two count from Lola. There's the ass attack in the corner. Sean Spears tries to get involved. When we start to hear it, vroom, 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 almost sounding like Leatherface is about to show up. When, you know, the perch, that like paper wall that people keep throwing people through, we see it get cut open with, I think it was a W, which I was confused. Like, what's
it looked
w
like
for?
A W. Yeah.
Wall busts open and it's Tatum Paxley with a chainsaw and a very warranted "what the hell" from Booker T, one of many tonight. This is when she chases Sean Spears with a chainsaw here. It's basically like Home Alone. He's tripping all over the place and she's running at him. Eventually, there's a distraction for Izzy, who gets back in the ring and is hit with the back fist from Lola for the 1-2-3. So Lola Vice wins the match here due to chainsaw.
Whenever I see something like this happen in wrestling, like someone chases with a chainsaw, I want to know, what was Tatum planning on doing if she caught Sean Spears? Was she just going to like cut him up
in this
PC.
Chop him up
right here.
Carve him up like a turkey for Christmas.
I thought the match was fine. I'm pleased they went with Lola. I want to see them try to keep on elevating her. I think she's delivered when she's been in those positions, but seems to have her like one title shot a year and then kind of disappear for a little bit. So I'm glad they went with her. It seems like we're getting the feud with Kalani continue. And the Tatum distraction did kind of keep Izzy relatively protected as well, because they've been going pretty strong with her as well. Thought the match was fine. This whole show did just feel taped to
me. Bit of a bottle.
There was a bit of a, like, there was some good stuff in the match. I liked Lola's like Rey Mysterio like senton to the floor.
She did senton, very nice. Yeah,
there was some nice stuff in here. The triangle spot from Izzy looked good, but just yeah, I felt throughout the show it just felt a little taped and the energy not quite there.
Just like pulling out a chainsaw, like how is that allowed?
Yeah, as I said, what would happen if she caught him? Just cut him up.
Like it could be her messing with him. That, you know, the chain isn't there a thing you could take off that it actually doesn't, you know, right, the blade or whatever. Maybe she's just messing with him.
Yeah,
but like still, like, you know, when you go to these haunted houses and they chase you with the chainsaws, they take the blades out, right?
Now, do you think Nico will eventually be revealed to be with Tatum? Is that something they could do?
Do we need that? I don't know.
I don't know. I felt there was a like a look from Nico after the screw job on Tatum where he maybe wasn't on board. So maybe we're going to have, you know, she's kidnapped him, Stockholm syndrome, and now
I think he's dead. She pulled out a chainsaw.
He's going to be a free agent in about 60 days.
Like, yeah, like she's pulled out a chainsaw after this guy's gone missing. I've watched a lot of 2020 true crime murder. Like, this guy's gone. He's done. She used a chainsaw. It's crazy.
Maybe.
I haven't watched my WoW Women of Wrestling yet, but shout out Chainsaw.
Oh, it's a character called Chainsaw?
There's a lady called Chainsaw in WoW. She's
Tatum should start wearing the like stocking over her head as well.
Like, right, Chainsaw Charlie.
Chainsaw Charlie.
Chainsaw Tatum, I guess, doesn't.
No.
Tatum, yeah.
Paxley. Chainsaw Paxley. Sounds a bit better.
Right. Chainsaw Man, that's a popular thing right now.
Sure.
But yeah, chainsaws in wrestling. I like when you're at the like the scary mazes. You know, I've been chased by a few people
by many
with chainsaws.
Chainsaw Man.
Universal Halloween Horror Nights. This Japanese lady chased me with chainsaw hands and it was
chainsaw.
It was really scary, dude. You know how I react when people chase me with chainsaws and just it was really scary. You can also listen to our Texas Chainsaw Massacre review.
Yeah.
On Patreon from a few years ago as well. Great.
And go back and listen to our All In Texas review, which Spotify let us know our most listened show this year.
Wow. On the Poison Monitor. Thank you. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. Go check it out. Well, that's enough about the chainsaws. How about iPads? Let's talk about that, because after that, we have Kalani Jordan, who comes out after the match and attacks Lola Vice. I think I forgot about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continuing that feud, we saw Kalani get kicked out the locker room by Lola Vice and Kalani moved back in last week. So I like that. Nice view to go to. Two people who are been around for a while in NXT and are at more of the higher end of the women's division.
We see this is where the iPad came into play. Jordan Grace is there backstage with Thea Hale, and they're watching last week when Thea Hale won the North American title, and it almost looks like Grace is kind of like jealous that this happened. But Thea's like, oh, like you're watching. She's like, oh, I'm so happy you won. Congratulations. She's like, thank you very much. And then kind of says like, you're right. Like, you just got to believe in everything. And
well, here Jordan Grace was saying, I've rewatched it multiple times and you won it fair and square. Blake's shoulders were down. There is no controversy. The ref did his job and you are the champion. So well done.
So she's like, thank you very much, and then walks off. And then it's just Jordan Grace sitting there on her iPad, just watching.
She's been watching it ever since it happened.
But even when the segment ends, she's just back on her iPad.
Let me just check. The shoulder was.
I didn't like, okay, there's nothing wrong with using iPads or whatever, but like, just feel like her character is so.
Interesting is it was reported, Boris and I talked about the awkward ending.
The Orlando screw job.
And the Orlando screw job, if you will. But more reports coming out that this has actually changed some kind of rules in NXT where no one can leave until a taping's finished because they were obviously taping tonight's show and next week's show. And when that happened and Thea won, that's kind of changed a lot of things. And apparently some key people might have already left and had to call them back. And it's...
What was that about Bayley telling people to stay?
It's something I always heard in interviews. Yeah. Like, you always stay at the end.
Yeah, isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Right.
So stay to the end, folks. Support your colleagues.
Just like, that's odd that if there is stuff to that, like that.
I get it, main roster. I get, especially your stars. I get a Brock Lesnar or a John Cena opening the show and then just leaving. NXT, it surprises me that they do that. I would have thought that would have been one of the things, like, you know, when they start, they're building the ring. I would have thought that would have been just a rule. Like, Tuesdays we're taping, stay till the end of the show.
Like, certain matches we've been to, or indie shows, WWE shows, AW, like, you see certain wrestlers come out of, into the crowd to watch certain matches because they want to watch and stuff so much, right? Like, think about going back to All In Texas, but where we were sitting with some friends for a little bit, we realized before Kenny and Okada, like, there was so many wrestlers from not just AEW, but from like other companies and other places, just all packing in to watch this match to make sure they could watch it. I'm like, that shows respect of like, yeah, I think back to many like Ring of Honor, crossover, New Japan shows where you'd see wrestlers coming out to watch like big match main events and support their friends and stuff. But yeah, I guess Bayley was right. Stay till the end. John Cena usually does say he would stay, right? Like, he would watch the whole show and talk to people after and be like, yeah, I watched this.
I think Austin always said he stayed in it as well. Like, I think it used to be more of a thing. But I think also back then they all went and partied after, you know, every night. Like,
now they're,
where are we going? Where are we out tonight? Whereas now they're just...
their guns and knives
going,
right?
Yeah, playing dominoes and stabbing people and pulling out each other's eyes. Of course, you know, whereas now they're like, hey, do you want to play Minecraft in my bus?
Chicken jockey?
Yeah.
Right. We go backstage. Ethan Page walks up to Miles Bourne and he's like, hey, Miles, I've tried to give you some advice before. And honestly, if you ask me, you need to make a change in 2026. NXT is like a shark tank. In fact, it's an ocean. It's got people from the wrestling world and the athletic world. It's hard to make it here. So hard that when you finally get called up to Mondays and Fridays will be a cakewalk. But Miles, in 2026, you should move up or move out. Who's this guy here to tell people, hey, you should move up or move out? This guy's been in NXT for a little while now.
Yeah.
It feels longer than Miles Bourne, but he's a champion.
I think Miles has been there longer.
Okay, fair.
To be fair.
But yeah.
I get you, though.
So Ethan Page is so diabolical in this. If you were to watch NXT as just a television show, the mean bad guy here, Ethan Page, he was mean, but he was like a chicken shit heel. Then he lost and he had his losing streak. And then all of a sudden he turned so violent and mean and evil that now he's like gotten back to the where he is in his role. And he's been killing it. But now this guy is such a dickhead. For the last few weeks, he's been going up to people and being like, yo, you should just turn heel.
Yeah, so who is the person that's going to do it,
right?
Because I feel we're building up. He's done it. It's mainly been with
Sol Ruka,
and I think Miles, and has he done Tavion as well?
Right. I mean, they had their feud, but yeah.
But yeah, I feel it's building up for someone to take his advice and join him.
Finally. Someone will be like, oh, baby, you're right.
Who would you like it to be?
What comes later is makes me believe it won't be Miles, but maybe that's like a bit of a red herring. But I don't know. I still think Sol Ruka is going to eventually turn heel eventually, but we shall see. But I like how he's got his feuds, his matches, whatever, but just ever so slightly, he'll have these moments where he tells other people that, hey, maybe you should try what I do.
Devil on the shoulder.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick, but I kind of like it. He's doing great stuff. I would say, like, Ethan Page is a character that should be on main roster. I think for a lot of fans that maybe aren't familiar with him, I think it would take one solid promo, which he always has, to get people to be like, oh, wait, who is this guy? And like instantly could be a pretty solid act on the main roster right now. Like, I think, I don't want to say he's being wasted in NXT right now, but he's in like a bit of a good spot where I could see him killing it on the main roster doing this.
Oh, yeah. So it's needed, I think, actually. Yeah. Like, it, we need something interesting.
Like, even if it's him in, like, a group, or I don't know. I don't know. But I feel like he could do some good stuff. So 2026, this is for a few wrestlers, I think, in NXT. Move up or move out?
Well, Javon Evans was announced on Raw last night as a free agent. So
interesting.
Could be moving up. We've been saying, I think we're going to be having him, like, main event stand and deliver.
I don't think so.
They could still do that. Like, right. I wonder if they'll have him do double duty, be on SmackDown for a bit and do that.
But, true.
But then I feel it's a long time for him to be, because then he'll have his championship run, you would think. So I don't know. But, like, it feels like he's moving up.
Like, yeah, strike while the iron's hot. He's 21. So. He's popular. He's such a good, you know, star, act, wrestler, whatever.
You want to capitalize on him being the youngest while he is still the youngest on the main roster, right?
Yeah.
And Trick Williams, I think, is a shoo-in to move up soon as well, because he's, where is he?
Like, I would still like them to pay off that Javon finally wins the NXT title, but they could also be like, hey, we have bigger plans for you. Like, maybe you win other titles right now. So, yeah, the fact that he's 21 is crazy, but yeah, good for him catching fire like that. So we'll see what happens. Maybe there'll be other free agents in the next few weeks in the new year. We have Thea Hale, the new North American Women's Champion, comes out. I got to say my piece. I mean, I watched last week's NXT. That was really interesting. I've watched that clip back a few times. Part of me, the wrestling fan conspiracy theorist, is like, this would be a great planned work thing where it's like, oh, she got a sneak win on her and won the title and you could have this feud. But if you watch it back, you can clearly hear Blake tell her, like, I can't get off. You have to move. But Thea doesn't hear her. And now she's champion. So it is weird.
Yeah. Couldn't hear.
It's weird. It's definitely for all the people who are the tribalists of the other company does this and look what happens with, there is fuck ups in every wrestling.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't had more moments like this.
Like, we've had fun conversations, you know, friendly conversations with people who are like, well, in AEW, like, it's minor leagues where the refs fuck up all the time. It's like, my first ever WrestleMania was WrestleMania 35, where I went live. The main event was a fuck up.
Yeah.
So, like, this shit does happen
in
wrestling. And, like, I hate that people, like, jump aside. This would never happen there. It's like, man, it happens. But it's interesting.
Don't blame the ref at all.
Yeah. But, okay, like, wouldn't he know that the finish is, wouldn't you explain, like, this is how this is going to happen?
Okay. Like, I feel at the end of the day, this is Blake Monroe and Thea Hale with the secondary women's title in your developmental brand.
Yeah.
It's not quite, you know, Roman Reigns just lost the title to Cesaro during that long reign. You know, it's
not Becky Lynch in the main event of a WrestleMania.
But the result, that was the result. That was still meant to be
the result.
That wasn't a result change, you know? Like,
true.
I understand if it's, you know, you're telling this long four-year Roman story and your payoff is going to be Cody, and then he has a random title defense against R-Truth on Raw and forgets to kick out. Like, yeah, then the ref just goes, I got to eat crow here. But this is development and these people should be learning. Right. So learn to kick out.
it's interesting. And then hearing, okay, there is some stuff about her, like you kind of alluded to earlier, where it's like some people didn't stay and then people left after the match and everything, because I wasn't watching NXT live last week. Shout out Boris for filling in. But by the time, like, later that night, I just went to see, I didn't look up what happened because I was going to watch NXT the next morning or whatever, but just to keep up. And I saw that Thea Hale was posting I'm at home on Twitch. And I was like, is NXT even over yet? What? And I was confused at what happened. I'm like, wait, she's the champion? I got spoiled. I'm like, she's the champion? That's weird. Didn't expect her to win. Little did I know that that's how it happened.
They didn't expect that.
Yeah. So Thea Hale comes out here, the new North American's champ. She says, no one thought I'd win. That's for sure. She says, no one prepares you for being a champion. But you, all the NXT universe, you've watched me. You've watched me grown up, as there's some you deserve it chance. She says that I was a senior in high school when I got like picked to come here, which is, you know, she's only 22 now, I think, or something, but she's only been here for a few years, but started very young. She shouts out Mr. Chase. He says, Mr. Chase, Andre Chase taught me a lot. And I've learned a lot in NXT, all of the friendships, all of the heartbreak. It all led me here. And many have doubted me, but I believed in me. And I'm the youngest North American champion ever. There's only been like three of these people who've been champions. But yeah, she then says that I was worried. I thought it would be hard to find myself, but I found the confidence because I'm a grown ass woman. When she's interrupted, the former champ, Blake Monroe, comes out dressed like she's right out of the bath.
Yep.
She says that she's upset and she looks really sad and lonely. Thea says, womp, womp, you lost. I'm sorry, but it's my title now. And Blake says, no, I want it back. Just give it to me. And just give it to me. And she doesn't say it, but she does kind of say, where's that referee? He was trying to fuck on me. And says, I want a rematch. And Thea Hale agrees and says, at New Year's Evil, Thea Hale, Blake Monroe 2 for the North American title. And then Blake attacks her. And it's a big pull apart here from the two of them.
Yeah, I think booking wise, it really doesn't matter that we've had this little hiccup in the title reign. Yeah. I don't think we weren't in the middle of this epic Blake Monroe reign at all. We'll reset at New Year's Evil. Blake Monroe can have this title again and we can continue. I actually really didn't like this promo. I think, yes, wrestling is scripted, but I think most of the time when wrestlers have these like babyface celebratory speeches and the crowd are getting behind them, I think real emotion does normally come out. And you can feel that as an audience member. I found Thea here so performative with it, where it felt so forced, the crying, where I could almost feel like a crowd turning on her.
Yeah, how bad this was. Yeah.
You know, it felt, because everyone watching kind of knows at this point, like, that shouldn't have happened. And this sort of over-the-top reaction that just didn't feel authentic to me, I felt could really turn the crowd off.
I thought that too. I thought that the crowd wasn't necessarily all cheering, you deserve it, which was weird.
Because it wasn't earned. It was a moment, but we didn't have the beginning and middle, did we? We didn't have this epic Thea Hale chase where I think they've told stories with Thea Hale before where if she won it, it would have felt like a big deal. This wasn't it. And I felt she was really, really forcing the tears here. It didn't feel genuine. And I think, yes, winning a title in wrestling is scripted, but I think it does mean a lot to these performers when they win one, and especially win a big one or their first one. And the emotion often feels real. It didn't feel there for me.
I would agree. It felt weird.
Yeah.
It felt, I don't know if it's icky on her part, their part, because it's like, oh shit, we actually weren't going to give you this. And now you are, but we're going to let you cut this heartfelt promo. But it's like, well, I didn't really earn this, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. There is some like weird, I don't know, stolen valor kind of situation. And I think as it was starting, I was like, okay, the crowd will get behind her because it's Thea, but then they kind of didn't. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is
and also because this is taped, I don't know how much, like if there was any editing with the sound here with the crowd, but true. I don't know. It just felt weird. They're in a difficult position. I just didn't think the Thea performance here was great.
And we love Thea. Yeah.
And I think there was maybe a different way they could go with it. But you know, if you wanted, Thea's been this character for a while. If you wanted to play about with her being a heel,
right?
You keep doing this.
I would keep her win. I would have her champion now.
But she should keep doing the crying thing. And it could be done in a way that eventually turns people against
her. And then it turns out the referee is actually in on it.
Yeah.
Brad Maddox situation, you know.
Why not?
I would actually have her retain and keep as champion.
I think there's other stuff we can do with Blake. I don't think she necessarily needs to be North American champion right now.
Yeah, I think it would be more interesting anyway. So maybe not necessarily the worst that this happened. But yeah, this was a, we love Thea, but this was a little bit weird. I can't, the Blake Monroe from rivalry to rivalry, feud to feud, it's not necessarily hitting for me.
It hasn't for me at all. No.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
We go to a video for the Speed Tournament, which is happening tonight. We have a video for Eli Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't the only ones who thought that, because people in the crowd during this episode were doing it. Because, okay, LA Knight, yeah, used to be Eli Drake.
Yeah.
So now we've put their names together, Eli Knight.
Yes.
But it's a young wrestler from Evolve here. He says that he had some showings in Reality of Wrestling, and that's what got me here, of course. And then he mentions how tonight is his opportunity to make himself famous. He's going up against Tavion Heights, who says he's going to grind him down and says he's going to hustle and get that Speed title. So that match is next when we come back. We see Sol Ruka and Zarya backstage. She is interviewed, and she's asked about how tonight she has a match against Chelsea Green in the main event for the U.S. title. She says 2025 taught us that we can't control the waves, but we can learn how to ride them. Yeah. Bars. Thought that was fire. She says, I beat Bayley at Saturday night's main event, and I'm lucky that I still have my best friend, Zarya. And tonight, when I beat Chelsea, I'm going to become champion again.
She feels momentum's on her side.
Yeah, yeah. Riding the waves. Zarya then ends it by saying, you deserve to be champion. Still waiting for that giant spear that's going to happen one day.
Yes.
It won't be tonight. We go to the Speed Tournament. Tavion Heights taking on Eli Knight.
Yeah.
And we have a very fast, it's only 3 minutes, this match, because it's a Speed Tournament. We get a moonsault to the outside from Eli here, and then they're back in the ring, and they're countering each other's moves. There's 2 minutes left with the yellow lights. There's this really impressive moonsault where he jumps and, like, kicks the turnbuckle to then moonsault.
I don't think I've ever seen
this. Yeah, very cool.
Almost like kind of a parkour moonsault, like a little,
like drop salting the turnbuckle, if that makes sense, like literally, yeah, pushing off of,
spring off of it.
Yeah, very fast, very cool.
Really, but cool.
It's a kick out from Heights here, and then Eli hits him with a sliced bread as well for a two count, and then goes for another moonsault but misses it. And then Tavion hits a running belly to belly side throw. This is like Ken Shamrock or your creator wrestler in SmackDown versus Raw, but Tavion Heights gets the win in the Speed Tournament. I thought Eli Knight, who I am not familiar with, comes in, does all these fast things, and then with barely 2 minutes, it's Tavion who hits one move and gets the win.
Yeah, and I don't think Tavion has. Okay, I get what they were doing here. That Eli Knight's losing. It's his first time on NXT.
Yeah,
he's one of their guys in Evolve, right? I believe.
Yeah,
and so they wanted to showcase him a little bit. So get him, get all his shit in. Tavion Heights isn't someone with that. He's someone who needs to be getting his shit in, because we don't see enough of it, I don't think. And I really think Heights is struggling as a singles act, because I agree. Like, I'm watching this match and I'm not coming out excited to see Tavion Heights in the next round. It's just, yeah, well, that makes sense because he's been in NXT longer. Like, his finish is a belly-to-belly suplex. It's not the most exciting thing in the world.
Aside, it's like the belly-to-belly. The
yeah, husband. Like, yeah. I think it's, you really need, if you want to get this guy over a bit more, he needs to be the one being showcased in this match. And it was Eli who was showcased, even right. If he didn't pick up the win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never seen this guy before, so I thought some of the stuff he did was really creative, so.
Also, another note, I hate when I see people go to the top rope and do a moonsault or whatever, and they don't look back first
to see if he's
you should
there.
Always just check if your target's there,
right?
True, just a little detail.
Well, that's why I lost
it. It is,
so we'll see what happens. But yeah, you were saying you're not excited. This tournament isn't very exciting, but we'll get more into that in a little bit. We go backstage. Jackson Drake, the Evolve champion with Swipe Right, collectively known as the Vanity Project. They see Blake Monroe, who's still in her bathrobe, and they start to hit on her. They have some Christmas gifts for her. We got you Christmas gifts. And they say that we actually think that you were robbed. You know, you were screwed. And they give her the idea that it's called the Orlando Screwjob. And she's like, oh, the Orlando Screwjob. That's a good one. Wow. Like, she's genuinely like, oh, shit. She's not like, oh, yeah, never heard that one before. She's like, oh, that's great. And they kind of gas her up here. They're like, don't worry, Blake, you're going to win it back. You're the best. And they kind of say that, like, well, you know, like, Thea did win and she's impressive. And, you know, she did pin you. And then she's kind of like, oh, actually, I don't want your gifts, and like walks off. So she leaves the gifts, and then I think she does eventually take one.
I think she takes Ricky Smokes'
gift.
He stays behind and like gives her the gift. And then as walking off asks, do you think she saw my abs?
We've seen these guys before this year.
They're great.
In the glimpses, like, we've been pretty high on them. Like, they're funny. And I think back to, okay, the tag team has been funny because Brad Baylor, who's hilarious, Ricky Smokes, his name alone, you got me. He's the best name in wrestling. And then you have Jackson Drake, which the last time we watched him wrestle was really good. So I actually...
Brad Baylor just has a face you want to punch.
Oh, man. It's like young Matt Damon.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, I love
it. In a great way.
Yeah, like, I love these guys.
Yeah, I want to punch you in the face.
More of them a bit later.
this was funny.
Like, these guys are the ones who are like, hey, you're going to get this little bit of TV time. And I feel like they steal it.
We saw this with, I think, Pretty Deadly used to have these kind of moments, but also... Everite 2.0 used to have just little 30-second backstage skits, and sometimes, like, wrestling writing isn't the greatest, but would always get a giggle out of you because their delivery is pretty great.
Yeah. Well, I'd swipe right. If swipe right means the good, right?
Swipe right's good. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We go to an in the ring segment. Lots of talking on this show, but that's okay. Oba Femi, the NXT champion, comes out. He's in the ring, and he's going to have a face-to-face with the number one contender at New Year's Evil, Leon Slater. So it's X Division champ versus NXT champ for the X Division title in 2 weeks. Got to shout out Oba Femi, who tweeted today to Bron Breakker saying, hey, I better get royalties for those bars. Because if I remember correctly, last week, Oba Femi was talking about how he was, or was it 2 weeks ago, how he was a mountain that you got to climb, and he's the ruler and the destroyer. And Bron Breakker cuts a promo on Raw last night saying how he's a mountain you got to climb and he's the ruler. And Bron, if you're Oba Femi, you'd be like, yo, bro.
Wow. It's
bar for bar.
I spun out the same thing. What you'd have thought it.
Yeah. It's like, did no one fact check that that is actually what this dude just said? So yeah, maybe it's long-term storytelling of Oba versus Bron.
Yeah.
Down the line, but we'll see. So this is a kind of a face-to-face in the ring here. Oba says that he's been the ruler of NXT, and soon he will be the ruler of WWE, because at Saturday night's main event, Cody Rhodes felt that shift in the universe, the shift I'm bringing to the WWE. Leon, you will feel it at New Year's Evil. Leon says that wrestling changed my life, from video games to the figures to DVDs. It changed my life. At 9 years old, I started training. And the youngest in charge isn't just a nickname. Ever since wrestling, I've helped provide for my family. And I am the youngest in charge. And I'm a record breaker and a moment maker. And in 2 weeks, another moment will be mine. And Oba says, yeah, you might be a moment maker, but your story, your sob story, has no happy ending. And then they kind of have a face-to-face, but there is a bit of a respect and a handshake for the match in 2 weeks. But yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this match. I think Leon Slater, just like Javon Evans, 21 years of age, these up and coming guys that anytime they've wrestled on NXT have been like, oh wait, who's this guy? This is great.
Delivering on every level.
Yeah.
Like, I thought his promo here, like, it wasn't anything flashy, but I thought he sounded really confident and honest and authentic. Like, I think they've been, like, this guy is going to get snapped up. They're either going to buy him out of his contract or something, because,
he's been absolutely
fantastic so far. And I was really impressed with him here.
Like, okay, talking as if this Javon free agent stuff, like, if he's someone we lose, then the story arc of that, at least in our heads, of like, hey, Javon finally winning the NXT title. Like, this guy's also 21 years old. That's crazy. He could be a big deal in the next few years, but I think his delivery is great. His wrestling, even more impressive. I think the match actually is something that could be really, really good. Strap him up.
Sure.
Give him the belt. Fuck it. Like, how crazy would that be? Yeah. But that won't happen, but be rooting for him. I think that'll be really fun. So that's in 2 weeks. Definitely looking forward. Leon is impressive for sure. That was actually not in the ring. I misspoke. That was backstage, but the next one is in the ring. We have lots of talking.
Yeah.
Lots of talking on this show. Ava in the ring with security jobber cops when Javon Evans and Ricky Saints are face to face in the ring. Booker T on commentary, surprisingly, is now a Ricky Saints fan. Is it because he turned heel, you might ask? No, of course not. You know why.
Did he work reality wrestling?
You know why. You think I say it because it's a joke? No. Ricky Saints showed up at Reality of Wrestling this week and is advertised. Well, I think they advertised him and he showed up
right
for a run-in or something, but now Booker loves him.
Yeah.
Really funny how that works. But it's because he's a heel and Booker's a heel, right?
Yeah.
It's all about timing. Sure. He worked it when he was a heel so that Booker could like him, but shout out Reality of Wrestling. Ricky says, Javon, everyone knows that you should just model yourself after me because look at me. I'm a superstar. Javon is like, I don't care about security. Ava, I'm sorry. I'm just going to beat his ass right now. And he tries to get at him. And she's like, no, stop it, please. No fighting. Javon says, everyone knows I had Oba beat, but you got involved. And everyone knows, Ricky, you're just jealous because you're not the guy you think you are. And Ricky laughs and says, I am that guy. I'm the guy who could go on Good Morning America. You can't even string a few sentences together. It sounds like you got marbles in your mouth. And says, I could be on Raw or SmackDown in an instant. And Javon's like, well, you haven't. I have been on Raw and SmackDown. I have been on John Cena's last show. Cena put me there and you weren't even mentioned on that show. And Ava says that we got to squash this. Next week, you two face-to-face, one-on-one in a match. And she calls it the last time, which someone just said they're a free agent.
Yeah.
We know how things work in this show.
Yeah.
This is a goodbye.
So Javon's moving up.
He's moving out. Up.
Good for Javon.
Yeah. I'm assuming Ricky sends Javon to the main roster.
Javon can do a Dolph Ziggler, Becky Lynch, and just win the NXT title in like 8 years' time.
Right. Is that how long it took?
Something like that.
Oh, it's because they came back.
After their main roster.
Right, yeah. Right, of course.
But yeah, I think bye-bye Javon, and I think it's right. I think we need to move up some people, and
yeah.
Why waste your time with this guy? He's more than proved himself on his SmackDown Raw appearances on that Saturday night's main event. Guy's ready. Ricky makes a little good point. He could work on his diction sometimes.
True.
Some of his delivery, but apart from that, yeah. Absolutely ready.
21 years old.
Like, crazy. Like, you want to capitalize on that.
Like, if I think of superstar in NXT of 2025, it would be Javon, I think.
Yeah.
Like, he's been, ever since we saw him, we're like, okay, this is actually someone who's good. If you've listened to us, or I'm sure other shows, or just NXT in general, the men's division has been lacking. But Javon seems to be like that white knight of like, oh, actually, this guy steals a show every time. This guy is young, but has got a character kind of down pat, like got a little bit of everything, and he would work on the main roster. The only problem is I would miss him on this show.
Yeah.
Because he's really good. But we shall see next week. Last time ever. Is it really though? We'll see. So we go from that. We go backstage. Ren QCC, Ren Sinclair and Kendall Gray with Fatal Influence getting ready ahead of their match. What's that in 2 weeks, right? Kendall Gray.
Yes.
JC Jane. Kendall says that she'll be the next champion, and Ren kind of gets in JC's face, and JC starts to shit on Ren, being like, you're just the sidekick, you're just a friend, you guys suck. But then says, you know what, how about I get some practice in? So challenges Ren to a match next week before New Year's Evil in 2 weeks. So next week, JC versus Ren.
So yeah, JC and Ren next week, and then the tag the week after.
The tag of... Isn't it New Year's Evil the week after?
Is it New Year's Evil?
I think so. Okay. Which is Kendall, JC, right? I think.
We've got a tag in there as well, don't we? I thought I saw a tag. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's just the Kendall match.
Maybe it's just the Christmas Chaos match.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you want to get in the holiday spirit?
Okay.
It's not WWE around the holidays without these kinds of things. Right?
Okay. On the holiday Christmas party show we did, there was a trivia question. What was the word of 2025?
Oh,
do you remember what it was?
Fuck. 6-7.
it wasn't. It was slop.
Slop.
But I feel Chaos could have been up there. I just finished watching season 3 of The Canadian Traitors last night, and they're all about chaos. It's the buzzword. Like, oh, we're going to cause chaos.
Chaos.
That girl is giving chaos vibes, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, chaos, chaos, chaos. And then they call this match Christmas Chaos, and Book and Vic must have said chaos about 20 times.
Christmas Chaos.
Each, yes.
We have some. Is this what we're drinking right now? You made me Christmas Chaos here. Davey poured me eggnog with Fernet.
I think I'm done with eggnog this year already. Like creamy pasta and then eggnog.
Maybe I actually am lactose intolerant. We'll find out after this show.
Yeah.
So
if I see you start sweating, I know what's coming up.
Christmas Chaos match. Stax and Ariana Grace taking on the team of Shiloh Hill and Skylar Ray. Did I get that right?
I think so.
So these are the two winners of LFG.
Yes.
Season 2.
Yes.
And this, what is Stax? What title does he have?
Stax has the TNA International Championship.
I was testing you.
Yes.
I knew it. I was testing you. So
tell me all the champions in reverse order. Stax.
Steve Macklin.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, well, that's about it.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. So Christmas Chaos, it's a tag team match. There's like no DQ, I guess. There's Christmas gifts all around. Shiloh Hill, is this his second match?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with Skylar Ray, but
she's had a match on NXT so far. Yeah.
This is where Booker T says he wants some eggnog here. So we've got some, so we're okay. It starts off with a brawl here, some awkward comedy. There's boxes being thrown on people's heads. Ariana Grace gets a gift through her face here.
Yeah, this was weird. It's a taped show, and there's a moment where Skylar Gray picks up a present, a gift box, and smashes it over Ariana's head.
Yeah.
And the camera missed it. It just cuts to her kind of, or you just see the end of it. And it was a little odd, considering it's taped.
I'm not that upset about it.
Oh, no, man, I needed to see the spot.
So everyone's brawling. Shiloh Hill grabs some of these gifts and unwraps it, and it's a keyboard to like a computer.
Yeah.
So this is very, we've seen people use, Solomon Crowe?
Yeah.
Hacker Scotty O'Shea. I've seen this, lots of keyboards in wrestling.
He's a keyboard warrior.
Right. So he starts smacking Stax with that. This is when Skylar Ray pulls out candy cane, like, poles.
Yes.
They start whacking them. Eventually, the camera tightens in on Skylar and Ariana, when then it zooms back out. Shiloh and Stax have now put both women on their shoulders. So it's a chicken fight.
Yes.
But then it's not.
No.
It's instantly squashed, and they drop down.
They just kind of pose the stick back and forth.
They pose, and then it's like, oh, actually, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So they tease the chicken fight.
Yeah.
Which usually is done in a pool, but it's okay. There's then Shiloh and this. They went to commercial break, which I was like, oh my God. But there's a Tree of Woe spot where there's like the candy cane kendo stick strikes here. When we're back from break, the heels are in control. Ariana grabs some gifts, and it's this gift that's shaped like a big giant ball that's wrapped and it's heavy. And she gives it to Stax, so he unwraps it, and it's a bowling ball.
And Booker's going, it's clearly a ball thing. It's a ball shape. And Booker's going, it's a turkey. It's a Christmas turkey.
It's a butterball, right? Yeah.
I mean, maybe a Christmas ham you could pass it as, but yeah.
Okay, so it's a bowling ball.
Yeah.
So she plans on then bowling this ball into the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
But as she swings it back, she smacks Stax in the winky, in the balls, in his Stax. And then as he sells that, like, you just smacked me in the balls of the bowling ball, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, drops the bowling ball on his this is some great Three Stooges shit here. So now he's got the bowling ball to the balls and the foot.
Yeah.
And it's all chaos. It breaks down. There's cookies. There's sugar cookies. Eventually, there's wreaths.
Shiloh gives Ariana his tooth, his like toothpiece, and puts it in her hand. And then she's freaking out and crying. So Stax is coming back in, and she's wiping her hand on Stax because she's had Shiloh's tooth.
It ends with a powerbomb on Stax through a table ringside. And then Skylar hits a frog splash on Ariana to win the Christmas Chaos match. Wow.
It wasn't just a table, Braden.
Oh,
he covered the table with pine cones, like Christmas pine cones, right. And then powerbombed him on that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that hurts more.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the word of the year again?
Slop.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I really hate like 99.9% of comedy matches in TV wrestling. I think at an indie show you can go to and you can have a little bit of ha-ha.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I found this really bad, and I don't think the characters were over enough. Like, no one knows who Shiloh Hill and Skylar Grey are at this point, so you're not particularly rooting for them. I like Ariana Grace. I think she can be quite funny. I thought she was too over the top in this. We've liked Snacks in the past, and I think coming out of the Tony D feud, he felt a little bit of a bigger deal, but he's just doing this comedy shit. Like, it's, they feel the need to because it's Christmas, but man, I would have hoped we were past this and we could come up with things a bit less stupid.
It's just the harmless, like, classic wrestling, whatever, plunder shit. But yeah, we get this all the time in WWE. So I guess we're just used to it, but it doesn't mean it's good.
No.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, Ariana and Stax, they're funny.
Yeah.
Shiloh Hill, this is the second match on TV, which is a weird, bizarre way to have this guy.
Yeah.
Showing up. I still don't know what about this.
Hey, there might be some kid at home watching this and being like, that was great.
They loved it.
That was great. I'm ready for Christmas. That was so chaotic.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, I will say Ariana took a giant bump when she went flying into like one of the Christmas trees. Mm. That looked pretty good.
She threw a Christmas tree.
And I guess the bowling ball, like, to the balls.
Oh, that was my least favorite bit of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently rewatched one of my favorite movies, Mystery Men, and they use a bowling ball where she like throws it at people. Good movie, but made me think of that. Well, that was 5 stars. That was one of the best matches of the year, I think. And next week is the NXT Year End Awards, so there was enough time for this to slide in there for anyone's list, but...
December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have 2 editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bitsenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go from that to backstage. Dion, Lennox, and Dark State go into Ava's office, and Dion's mad and says, Ava, I want Joe Hendry. When? Oh, wouldn't you know it? He said his fucking name, and the music hits, and he appears in the corner of Ava's office, and she's like, were you here the whole time? He's like, never mind that. And he says, 'tis the season to be jolly. And he asks Dion, yeah, I want a match with you too. So that is set up for, is it next week or New Year's Evil? I can't remember, but the match is coming. Dion versus Joe Hendry. And when they all walk out, it's,
so I think that's for New Year's Evil. And but next week we've got a concert from Joe,
right,
Hendry.
yes. So New Year's Evil, Dion versus Joe Hendry, but next week Joe says that he's got a New Year's Eve performance.
Yes.
That's what's next week. Cutler James, before leaving, says you better have your head on the
show. No, that match hasn't been...
It hasn't been announced yet?
No.
Okay. I'm sure it will be, because he's going to sing about it.
I don't know, unless he just sings about Dark State next week.
And then everyone fights him? Or he gets partners?
I think he's moving up as well. He's having a match with The Miz next week.
Oh.
So he's got a...
It's got big things planned, yeah.
Well, I feel they are calling up some people, and the fact Javon's moving up, I feel Joe Hendry's moving up.
Wow. You think so?
I think so.
Interesting. All right. Well, he's got a performance next week, so get ready. OTM or backstage? There's a lot of talking. They say that we ain't folding when it comes to the NXT tag division. But Swipe Right interrupt them. More of Swipe Right here, the Vanity Project. And they say, hey, is it Kelly?
Yeah.
Who's interviewing
Kelly Kincaid, yeah.
these guys just straight up start chopping her while she's interviewing
Okio. I love how they're like, hey, these presents was for someone else, yeah, but you're cool.
You're kind of so cute too. So
you're cute. Do you yeah want him?
So OTM are kind of pissed off by this. So they say something to him, like, I forget what they say to him, but which was like, I don't know if it was in Spanish or just or something.
No, it's because they're fucking mumble mouths, and this had me howling because this is a taped show.
Yeah, did so you feel vindicated here?
We actually had subtitles on
for
this show because it's just on my settings.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, great, I get subtitles for OTM. And one of the guys just says, like,
sorry, man, we don't know French,
I
buddy.
I don't speak French.
I know you felt vindicated.
And I was like, yes, I'm not alone.
Yeah, I couldn't understand them there, to be honest. And we did have the subtitles on, but they killed me with that. Sorry, we don't speak French, buddy. And then they just go back to talking to Kelly, and they're like, yo, what the fuck? You, like, interrupt us? So they say, hey, you don't know who we are. Because they're like, you don't know who we are. We're OTM. And they're like, you don't know who we are. The Vanity Project. Swipe right, buddy. I love what people call, but it's the most like disrespectful yeah thing. MJF does it a lot in wrestling, yeah,
buddy.
But yeah, when you don't like someone, you call them buddy. It's great. I'm not your guy, pal. OTM then say, sorry. So swipe right, or like, you're going to get used to us. Basically saying, hey, in 2026, we're going to be on NXT a lot more. And OTM says that you will pay in pain. I thought these kids geeked these dudes out.
I thought so too. So I think we were meant to look at this scene like this Vanity Project come yeah in, they're running their mouths, they're kind of funny, and then OTM are like, we're gonna kill you, and you're like, ha ha ha, these geeks are gonna pay. Right. Instead, Vanity Project had the best lines, and like I thought they completely geeked them out, and I don't think that's what they were going for in this scene. And especially the last line from Lucian Price, which was just laughable. It goes, yeah, and you're going to pay in pain.
Yeah, really.
Like, it's like, ooh, that's not good.
Swipe right, buddy.
Yeah, but Vanity Project, things to look forward to in NXT in 2026.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys, both scenes, I thought they stole it.
Yeah, tonight. Just thinking of any time so far that we have seen them on TV, they've actually been really good. So I would be interested to see what they can do in 2026. They mentioned the tag titles, I think.
Yeah,
as well. With there's no fucking teams.
The
yeah, there's right no teams.
Who is champ?
Dark State.
Oh yeah,
isn't right it? Is it?
Yeah, it is Dark State. Yeah,
Shaquan got yeah his title back in the backstage segment. Can't forget that.
You're right. Yeah, we've seen nothing with them.
All right. Well, we go from that to the. I'm sorry. Is this the saddest tournament we've seen in NXT? Maybe in wrestling this year, at least. I'm not going to say ever, but just take a look at this for a second. The speed tournament we're doing here. The winner of this tournament gets to face, of all people, Jasper Troy in the whatever graphic they put up.
I mean, remember, this is how speed works. It's always a tournament okay and then the winner.
Okay, but hold on.
But yeah, these four are up.
We had Tavion Heights versus Eli Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Lexus King versus Andre Chase. And the winner of these matches yeah then face Jasper
awful
Troy.
Awful.
What? No disrespect to anyone here, but this is one of the saddest. If you can, is this even qualify as a tournament?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's like two matches, three matches, yeah, and Lexus King is in your tournament. I don't. It's already down. But Andre Chase in rare singles action. They don't know what to do with this guy right now. But he's wearing a mask. He's got reconstruction surgery on his face.
Yes,
because of his nose and stuff. We get an insert promo from him saying it's not going to stop him. He's going to fight. We get an insert promo from Lexus King wearing a cowboy hat who quotes some Matthew McConaughey and Talladega Nights and then says he's going to win the speed title. Chase is in control early on here. They start fighting around the ringside. In the ring, King hits him with a super kick for a two count. There's a minute left. There's then like that drive-by knee to the back, oh, terrible move for a two count. Chase comes back with the Russian leg sweep. I know he's got a good-looking one. Vic Joseph mentions it looks like Lexus King may have lost some hair in this match. 40 seconds left. There's an octopus stretch by Chase. You think King is going to get out of it or tap out, but he punches Chase in the face, in the nose of the reconstructed nose, and then hits the coronation, or as Booker calls it, the rockabye baby. And Lexus King wins here. And next week, it will be Lexus King versus Tavion Heights And then King looks at the camera and says, I'm the king of speed.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing with either of these guys, I don't think. They've both been in NXT a long time. I feel both their gimmicks have peaked at this point already, and I don't think are taken as serious competitors anymore. I don't know what you're doing with them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Lexus King, he came in here, he rebranded himself, and it's been I don't know how long, and it still feels like the way he came in.
I'd honestly much rather see this speed tournament thing be your through line for your Evolve people. Have these matches with just people from Evolve we don't know, and giving it, look, they're getting 3 minutes on TV. Let's see what they can do and impress. And then eventually one of them will overtake Jasper Troy. But like it's being used for these guys, which I didn't care about anyone in this tournament
today. Yeah.
And I thought this could have been from 2 years ago on NXT.
That's what I mean. He's literally the same when he came in. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is. Like, he can learn wrestling moves that he can do, but I just don't know what is that thing that is. I don't think he can get to that next level. I think he'll be this jobber kind of. He won this match, but like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be in this position. I don't know what it is, but it's clearly everyone feels the same way. But I don't know where we go with this, because I didn't like this match. Andre Chase is someone who they should have went with Chase U as an act that actually got over, that actually was working and actually had good matches. And they kiboshed it for who? For a dude who doesn't even wrestle, that they got rid of anyway. So they just ruined everything for no reason, essentially. And yeah, I don't know. This tournament, this speed thing, I don't care about at all.
No.
And I don't know. But we go backstage. Kalani Jordan's angry. She's walking through. She's angry, like, what are that Lola Vice?
She's moved back into the locker room, and she's just putting them all on notice, really.
I don't care about Lola Vice. But she walks by Miles and Tavion, and Miles says to Tavion, like, hey, maybe Ethan Page was right. Maybe some things do gotta change. When Hank and Tank come in, and they're like, no, fellas, come on, don't be so down on yourself. Highs will be high and lows will be low. But they, like, start to hype them up. Like, we've been champions. Come on, look at us. Like, we went on a losing streak. So eventually, they kind of like, guys, you know, stick together. Don't be like sad. And then they walk off. So it's a bit of a second where we think, is Miles and Tavion going to be a team again?
Okay, but wouldn't this have made sense if Tavion Heights lost his match tonight?
Right.
Why is he down in the dumps? He just advanced to the final of this tournament.
So like maybe Miles costs him this thing. I don't know.
I feel this was taped at a different time.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe. Like, this felt weird because the scene here was like Tavion's just lost his match, and Miles recently lost the number one contender, and they're down in the dumps. And Hank and Tank essentially going, "Hey, you guys should maybe team up again and then see what you can achieve."
Yeah, really.
That's what it felt that they were trying to get across. However, Tavion just won. He's facing Lexus King next week.
So. Okay, I think Tavion should win, but then loses to Jasper, I guess, is what happens here. I would like to see Miles and Tavion. Yeah, but
their singles runs aren't working.
This is teasing, as Miles is going to listen to Ethan and be like, oh, actually, I don't want to be with you.
Sure.
Like, I do need to be evil, essentially. Okay. Right? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's weird. Next week, Ethan Page is taking on Moose for the North American Championship. We will also have one last time forever, Javon Evans versus Ricky Saints, whatever that means, one last time. I don't know.
Have we had them?
I don't know. It is the last time ever. Okay. Just let it be that. JC Jane versus Ren Sinclair, and then Joe Hendry's musical performance. Plus, I'm sure they'll add some more stuff as well. But that's what's announced for next week. And then remember the week after that, New Year's Evil.
Yes.
But our main event, Chelsea Green putting her WWE United States Women's Championship on the line against Sol Ruka. Early on, Sol tries to go surfing here, but it keeps getting kicked out of it. Eventually does lock on the surfboard here on Chelsea Green. Ethan Page and Alba Fire try to get involved, but then Zarya just yanks them out of the ring there to stop them. This is when Sol sends Chelsea to the outside and then hits a moonsault to all of them going into commercial break. When we come back, Chelsea's in control with the full Nelson, but using her legs here as instead of her hands, very innovative move. Sol comes back with a huge German suplex and then a running knee, almost like a Shining Wizard, Busaiko knee kind of thing. But Chelsea kicks out of it. Green starts to fight back and then hits a Rough Rider, shout out Matt Cardona, for a two count. And then they're fighting up top and hits a like second rope avalanche German onto Sol Ruka, but it's not enough to keep her down. And then Sol up top hits the, is it the Rainbow DDT?
Yeah.
Right? We talked about, she brought this move back. Hits that on Chelsea, but it is a two count. This is when Moose shows up to attack Ethan Page, who keeps trying to get involved here, leading a distraction. We think Sol is about to hit the Sol Snatcher when it's blocked and the unpretty her connects. Chelsea Green retains her U.S. title.
Yeah, I think this is also just showing like how they see Sol Ruka now at this point. She's going for a main roster title against main roster talent. I see her being in the crop to move up soon, which makes me think, I think we will get this turn and break up between Sol and Zarya soon, because I don't think there's, I don't think they have the luxury of necessarily telling a long story with this anymore, because I feel Sol Ruka is going to be moving up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Thought the match was fine. Probably match of the night, I'd say. But yeah.
You didn't like the Christmas chaos?
Small's finish, and it was fine.
Yeah. I think we got some cool spots in. Chelsea can wrestle. Obviously, her character right now is really what's carrying her like to huge popularity. So it is fun to see her come down to NXT and stuff. Like, her gimmick is she's this annoying, you know, what, Canadian American thing, but Sol Ruka would fit in perfectly into the main roster without a doubt. It's whether you want to bring Zarya and her in as a team and then do the breakup angle later on the main roster rather than doing it now. But I think we're deserved that big spear in NXT.
Time Baxter in the chat saying Sol Ruka beats Bayley at SNME, then loses to Chelsea Green on a random NXT. What? Who books like this? Well, I mean, there was interference here. Like, Alba caused the distraction, which led to the finish here.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That was NXT. You know, it is a tape show. There was a lot of talking segments hyping up the next few weeks, so can't blame them for that. But it felt quicker. It felt like they were in and out of stuff. Nothing necessarily annoyed us. Maybe the Christmas chaos. But I think next week sounds a lot better, and especially New Year's Evil, which they've definitely hyped up. I think Leon Slater and Obafemi will be a really,
really entertaining. Looking forward to that.
So, like, that is something in 2 weeks where I'm definitely looking forward to. But not my favorite episode, especially the last few weeks. I feel like there has been some good stuff. I wasn't on last week, but the last month or so, there has been good episodes of NXT. I wouldn't necessarily say that this was one of them, but it got me hyped for some of the stuff that we're looking forward to. And, I mean, there's a lot of questions right now with call-ups. There was references on screen of, like, hey, Javon is a free agent. Ethan Page saying move up or move out. Ricky Saints bringing up Raw and SmackDown. There's so many references to the main roster that I do think they have to move people along, because, like,
I think we are going to see a few moving up pretty soon. And Javon seems to be the first of them.
So we have Leon Slater versus Obafemi in 2 weeks. We have Lexus. Sorry, no, wait. That was last year. I'm looking for this year's. I'm trying to think of what else is added to that show.
Kendall Gray, JC James.
Oh, of course, right? Yes. From the Iron Survivor. Thea Hale versus Blake Monroe and Tatum Paxley versus Izzy Dane.
Three women's matches so far.
Yeah, and, wow, yeah. Three. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Well, there you go.
And that's a TV special, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So that'll be in 2 weeks. We will be back here next Tuesday right after NXT. We will probably be on at 9:30-ish. Yes. So sorry to anyone who watches on actual cable, but we will start early like we did tonight. Just, it helps us out a little bit. But we will be also the week after, Tuesday after New Year's Evil. Catch us live right here. It will probably be around 10:05 p.m. at Post Wrestling. We are your NXT friends. We do a whole lot more, though. Search Poison Rana in your social media or podcast app and give Poison Rana Pod a follow, a subscribe. We are on YouTube as well. We just did our Christmas party. We won't be doing a show this Sunday. It's World's End on Saturday. We're going to try to maybe do something Monday for our Poison Rana listeners out there. So follow the socials. We will be announcing probably sometime Monday evening. We'll do a little show talking about AEW World's End and everything. Definitely looking forward to that show.
Absolutely.
Coming up this weekend. But it is the holidays. So, follow the socials and stay informed and love our community. Happy holidays to everyone out there.
Happy holidays. Hope everyone has a great one. Hope everyone's looking off themselves. Don't get too crazy.
Yeah, don't get too nuts.
Okay.
Don't have too much eggnog.
Don't drink and drive.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that's a no-no. All right.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Appreciate everyone out there. We will be back next Tuesday. Everyone in the post-wrestling world, love, support, take care, goodbye, and be fucking safe.
Ahoy!
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.